If nothing has been done with material, but what really has been done? When you look at the end of the project and all this, the stuff you have inventoried, right, several bookloads, what in the end can you say was, what makes you proud of this team that went in there? If I'm a listener, lower 48, $2 million, which is a low budget, really, for that. And
well, it is now.
Yeah.
It wasn't then.
Now. But the understand that what the collaboration, too, between an oil company and the archaeologist to do this, what would you say are you proud of in this project? That, what did it do for archaeology, or what's your personal take on that?
Well, for archaeology, it brought a large number of artifacts and raw material, site locations, right through the state. It gave people, archaeologists, the opportunity to study, analyze the material. It saved the material. A lot of the sites are now under the pipe or under the road, what little there is left of them, or what little was left after we got through with them. It made sure that companies, not just oil companies, but construction crews, anywhere, it showed them that they were, in fact, jeopardizing cultural remains. We didn't find any human remains. Well, I take it back. We might have, but it was never proven. It was off the pipeline and so on. But it basically started large-scale projects by construction companies. And, like I say, showed them that if they were doing construction, ground-disturbing construction, then they were apt to destroy cultural remains. I think that was one of the in the north, especially in the boreal forest, that archaeologists hadn't realized that there was as much here. And an awful lot. We did a large number of dating, a lot of radiocarbon dating. We also developed obsidian hydration dating for a lot of the sites where obsidian was being found. You can date obsidian artifacts by looking at the very outer skin of the artifact.
What's obsidian?
Obsidian, the volcanic black glass, was favored by a large number of people for making stone artifacts, not only up here but everywhere around the world. And we were on the vanguard of developing that technique for dating sites. Obsidian, when you break off a piece of obsidian, the fresh surface accumulates a small rind of water, hydration, over time. If you measure this rind, the thickness of it, it will give you an idea of how old it is, how long it has been since it was manufactured. So we did that for a large number of the sites along the road. Maybe even more importantly, in a longer sense, is that it gave a large number of students an opportunity to work in, you might say, harsh conditions, but not really. Gave them an idea of Arctic archaeology. We were, you know, sort of training these people all along. A large number of them have stayed in the profession, and some of them have gone on to quite major other undertakings, not just in Alaska, but several other places. I'm thinking of Maine particularly. The archaeologist up there was one of the major ones here.
Mm-hmm.
Art Spies. S-P-I-E-S-S. And he's gone on to a fair number of other projects. I hear periodically from some of them, run into them at meetings or things like that, and they're still involved. Sue Will, who I mentioned, she's now the assistant manager for BLM here in Fairbanks. And all of this experience, I think, was very helpful for a lot of the students. There were grad students, there were undergrads. Like I said, I didn't hire any of the professors. So, all in all, the impact of the project has been rather widespread.